Okay. So.
Hey, Coach.
Good. How are you?
Good. Looks like you've lost another one.
Yeah, we lost a couple. I don't know what we had. I'm not being smart. Mike's always, I don't usually know what the hell the injuries are. Mike will know for sure. But Kurt couldn't go. Robert Swift might have been able to go, but we just feel it's better to keep him out another day. Chris Wilcox went a little bit early, and then again, it just doesn't make sense, particularly in a non-contact practice. He couldn't go. Jelly hurt his hammy. He couldn't go. And Delonte still has the toe. So we had 10 guys, 5 guys. 4 guys couldn't go at all. Wheezy went a little bit. He might have gotten 10 or 15 minutes. I don't know how long it was. So we ended up with 10 guys. That was why, one of the reasons we switched to having this be a non-contact practice. But I'm not sure we're going to get a hell of a lot accomplished tonight either. So we'll just try and get stuff in. It's really hard for the guys who are on the floor to learn when it's non-contact. It's really hard for guys standing on the sideline, not even participating, trying to learn. But we just got so much stuff in. We got some things in, but it's the first time they saw it. But it'll be a little better now if we do it live tonight. They'll at least have a clue what they're doing. So
are you still going to ease back tonight though with everything?
Probably. I'll talk to Mike and see. Like, you know, Mike will either say Wheezy can't go or he'll be able to go, or depending on what he tells us. Because if we lose Wheezy on top of the other two, we almost don't have enough bigs to practice. Like we ran Jeff at 4 today, which again is fine. He's going to do that sometimes during the year. But the only way, you know, we had 10 guys and we really didn't have 4 true bigs. We had 3 true bigs and we made Jeff the 4th one. So, but again, you know, sometimes stuff like this helps. I mean, you forget to do it the other way. So Jeff got a day of running 4 for the fast break and, you know, under out and stuff like that. So, he gets to learn a little bit of another position.
It seemed like it was another day of just kind of working on the basics. You're kind of working on the rotations defensively. And then,
yeah, I mean, it's just new situations. The 4 situations we put in are just, this is how we're going to defend this particular situation. We haven't done it yet. So there's a lot of them. I mean, I don't know what the number is, 20 or more, you know. Some of them are similar. Some of them overlap. I mean, we did screen the screener today. We had already done cross screen, so it starts the same way. But then, and we'd already done down screen, so it's a marriage of the two that we already had. But they haven't done screen the screener, so we just got to get them in. But I mean, to say that's in is not fair. I mean, if Zach runs screen the screener well against us Monday, we ain't going to defend. Or Tuesday, we ain't going to defend it based on what we did today. But hopefully, we'll get a chance to do it tonight. You know, and we'll do it either in the scrimmage Saturday night or in the live practice on Monday before we leave. But it's just, we got to get the menu in first, and then we got to go back to, you know, reviewing it. But the only good thing about these practices that they do it this way is you get a chance to get stuff in. I mean, it's just, you know, to have a non-contact practice is really crazy, but that's what it is.
You said that because of the situation, people aren't standing out, but how is Jermaine kind of looking this year?
He just looked good. I mean, you know, I think he's a veteran player, so he's going to pick up stuff quicker than other people. He's been in enough camps and played with enough different teams that he recognizes the situation. So he's going to look, you know, he's going to look probably better than most in a situation like this. But I mean, JJ's a good player. I mean, we saw him in the summer. I've known him a long time. I mean, he's doing well. But you know, to say anybody's doing well right now is really kind of, you know, Begging the issue a little bit.
Do you have a specific position for Johan? Do you know, is he a 4? I mean, can you see from now?
Our terminology will mess you up, because Paul, when he talks about the break, says the 5-man inbounds the ball and the 4-man runs the floor. Well, for us, Wheezy's always going to run the floor. Mm-hmm. And Nick is usually going to inbound the ball. So if they're in together, you know what I mean? We really are playing 2-4s. If Johan is on the floor with Wheezy, he's going to take the ball out of bounds. If he's on the floor with Nick, he's running the floor and Nick's taking the ball out of bounds. So if you start saying who's a 4 and who's a 5, you'll get confused. For us, the only time 4 and 5 really matter are who they're going to guard. Mm-hmm. And they have to learn. Fast break will be simple for them. I mean, relatively simple, but there'll be designated guys to take the ball out of bounds. But, you know, even though we say Chris is always going to run the floor and Nick is, or Kurt Thomas is a better example. Kurt Thomas is always going to be the inbounder in the trail. Well, if Chris gets a rebound in a game on a miss, Kurt's going to go first, and Luizzi will end up being a trailer for that play. So they have to know both spots anyhow. Where it becomes an issue is when you talk about defensive matchups. It's not an issue, but then we may have a four guard and a five or vice versa. And when you run out of bounds plays or when you run set plays, they have to know, like if I call C5, we have to know, depending on who's in the game, who do we consider five, who do we consider four. But, I mean, we have so much confusion right now with, you know, fast break numbers and this and that, that, you know, eventually we'll get it sorted out. But we just, you know, two bigs are going to be on the floor. One is always going to be designated to be the inbounder for the fast break. And other than that, it's going to be they have to know different sets. They have to know there's only two big position. You know, I mean, really, four and five are very similar. Two and three are very similar. So if you know one, you know the other.
If you have it out on the floor, do you need a rebound? I mean, Johan in the first 2 years hasn't been, he's been more of a finesse big.
I don't know him well enough to say that. We need rebounding, period.
Yeah.
But until we play, and it won't even happen in the preseason. I mean, we'll do different combinations in the preseason. But, you know, I mean, you may know it already. It may take me a longer time to figure it out. But, I mean, at some point we're going to say, boy, when we have these two guys together, it's not good for us or it is good for us or whatever. But until we're going to give them a chance. We're going to give the different combinations a chance to play together. We may even play, you know, I don't think a lot of it, but we may have Robert and Johan on the floor together or Mo or some combination of two of those three bigs. It certainly won't be a steady diet of that, but, you know, if we don't look at it, we won't know what it does look like. I'd be surprised if we do it much, but I would be just as surprised if we don't at least throw it out there just to see what happens in the preseason anyhow.
A couple more for PJ.
Early this week you said you're going to play a lot of zone. Why do you feel you want to do that?
I don't know. A lot. If I said a lot, I probably misspoke. We're going to play zone on a regular basis. It may not be a lot. We may play X amount of possessions a game. Just because I think that zone has a place. I think there are certain teams that don't attack zones very well. I think it allows you to protect guys when they're in foul trouble. It allows you to dictate matchups a little bit better. You can't get caught in just a horrible matchup or two horrible matchups that you don't like, so you play zone. And also, rest people's the wrong thing, but we can play zone and keep somebody on the bench for a while. You know, I just think it gives you some maneuverability, provided you play a good zone. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being smart. Most of us in the league don't play zone well. So, I mean, my goal is to have a good zone, and if we have a good zone, we're going to use it.
Is that also because you guys are a young team and you have a lot of people rotations?
If we were the oldest team in the league, I'd be doing it. I've believed always that zone had a place in the league. I believe it more now than I did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So I'd be doing it either way. I just think that where most of us, I'm calling the coaches in the league, have come up short is we don't put the time into it. We all have a zone that we can throw out there, but most of them are shit zones. Sometimes they work because the other team's missing shots or because the other team doesn't attack zone very well, but it's not usually because it's a good zone that has good slides and they put, you know, players understand it. Our goal this year is to have a good zone and see if we're right, see if a zone really is something that will bother teams or will be able to help us, you know, in given situations. So we're going to find out. You know, it'll be a work in progress. But, I mean, I expect to play zone, maybe not every night, but on a regular basis. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.